Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in South Central Iowa and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA and KRLS. Now with today's In-Depth, here's Dr. Bob Leonard.
How does the morality of the 19th century influence us today? And what does it have to do with 50 Shades of Blue and Gray? Let's go in depth with author Kathy Wilson.
Kathy Wilson, where are you from?
Originally northern Minnesota. Recently, I live in Marion over on the northeast side of Cedar Rapids.
And you're a social historian of sorts, right?
That is correct. I am interested in pretty much anything that has to do with people. Everything from what they eat and how they dress to where they go to church to how they vote and where they live. And pretty much everything in between.
And you do a lot of programs for libraries, schools?
I do. 90% of my programs are usually in libraries, but I do organizations, museums, small groups, pretty much anybody who wants me to come talk to them about history.
Okay. All right. Well, and the social history, what does that mean?
Well, social and cultural history involves what I consider to be the more personal, tangible aspects of a community. And I mean, that's not the academic description, obviously, but to me it makes what I do more relatable to people, because that's what I'm focusing on, are those things that they can personally relate to, because it has to do with helping them understand why they think and do the things they do.
And so it's a history that's more about us than about the important people. Yeah.
Yeah. I hated that part of history, right? Don't have me memorize names and dates of presidents and generals and wars. Tell me the stories about the people behind the scenes, the regular folks, if you would. And tell me about their lives. What did they do? What did they experience? How did it affect their families and future generations?
And one of your programs is 50 Shades of Blue and Gray.
Yes, it is.
Well, what a great title. Young people might not notice the references to the blue and the gray.
Right.
And some people might not recognize the 50 Shades, but I bet most people do.
Definitely, because that's part of the reason why we went with this title. When I say we, it was because it was a collaborative effort to come up with the title, was that I'm all about getting people's attention. If I called this program simply A Day in the Life of a Soldier, you might not be as interested. But if my title implies there's something a bit more titillating, for lack of a better term, suddenly I have your attention. And so the reference to the book, 50 Shades of Gray, by incorporating that into the title, people immediately know there's going to be something about sex in this program.
And sex in the Civil War.
Exactly.
The blue and gray.
The blue and gray. And the idea behind this program was to combat this idea that our Victorian ancestors were all a bunch of prudes and that they didn't think about sex, they didn't like sex, and that if anything, they are every bit as interested in that topic as we are today.
What? They're not, the Victorians weren't prudes? That's the stereotype.
That is the stereotype. And the reason it's the stereotype has to do with a series of events culminating in an evangelical movement that begins after the American Revolution. And as a result of that evangelical movement, new ideas about men and women, expectations for men and women, and attitudes about sex all come together for the group of people who become the middle class in the early 19th century, and they do such a good job of setting the standard by which everyone in their community was measured, we are still dealing with the fallout of their position 160 years later.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about the 50 Shades of Blue and Gray with author Kathy Wilson.
Okay, so one movement in the early 1800s, and then you're sort of exploring it during the Civil War, but then continued. So there was a more liberated position that then became more conservative, tied to an evangelical movement at the early part of the 1800s.
Yeah, you've got this. So before the American Revolution, sex was a part of everyday life because people lived in close quarters. Everyone knew about sex. People saw animals being born every day on the farm. It was nothing that you were unaware of. It was around you, but it was so common that it was no big thing. I mean, you might be sleeping in a bed next to another bed where there's a couple having intimate relations, but you roll over and go back to sleep because that's just what you did. But that series of events culminating with the evangelical movement suddenly made, for women especially, suddenly made an interest in sex a bad thing. And so suddenly we go 180 degrees and now we don't talk about sex. And I say we, meaning everyone from our Victorian ancestors up through today, we don't like to talk about sex. It makes us uncomfortable. And there's a tendency to believe that this is the way it has always been. But that is not the case.
And how does this relate to the Civil War?
Anytime you pack men up and send them off to battle someplace where you have a lot of men in a small space, far from home, far from the comforts of home, far away from the women that they care about, and you combine that with a whole lot of free time and nothing to do, it provides ample opportunity for young men to get into trouble, if I may use that word, because the average age of the Civil War soldier was a little over 25 years. So we're talking about young men in the prime of their life who don't know if they're going to be alive later today, let alone tomorrow, and they're bored, they're stir crazy. Maybe they have wives or girlfriends at home, but they haven't seen them for so long. Some young men just happen to find opportunities to either secure female companionship, so there is a huge demand for prostitutes, but there is also all sorts of sexually provocative materials available for purchase. Everything from racy stories to, you can buy condoms at the, at the settler's wagon, because condoms did exist in the 1860s. But one of the things that becomes very important is the development of photography. And by 1860, there are already plenty of individuals who are willing to use photography in much more creative ways. And so there's everything from just kind of what we would call body pictures all the way up to full-blown pornographic images. And those were also easily available to the soldier in camp. And so it became a very cool thing to collect photographs and stereopticon slides, trade them with your friends. You could say that that was the forerunner of the Playboy magazine. So Hugh Hefner had nothing on Civil War pornographic photography, I guess you could say. I threw you a curveball there, I can tell.
Well, I guess because I've always read about it in terms of, the battles and who is captured and who won.
And who dies, yeah. And what was left when people went home.
Yeah.
But see, that takes the humanity out of the event. Because we're just focusing on statistics, battles, famous generals, and of course the president. But we don't ever really talk, especially in the classroom, so let alone outside of academic settings, we rarely ever talk about how does this affect one individual? How does this affect a family when it comes to personal relationships? I mean, we talk a lot today about PTSD with soldiers returning from, you know, from the Middle East, or recognizing that soldiers in Vietnam and World War II and Korea and World War I all experienced PTSD. But for some reason, we don't think of that as having existed before 1914. And PTSD is one of those things, much like how do soldiers cope on a day-to-day basis, that really makes those stories about individuals and not those statistics. And sex is probably one of the most basic human instincts that we deal with on a daily basis. And it doesn't stop just because you got packed up and shipped off to a camp someplace.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about the 50 Shades of Blue and Gray with author Kathy Wilson.
Okay, but somewhere along the line, this is all censored. You know, in even
right.
in contemporary narratives.
Yes.
And so you're breaking through that mold.
Correct.
But there's all kinds of pressures, and there's probably some listeners that are a little bit worried about where we're going, you know, with this. But if we don't explore all aspects of human life at the time, then... And this is one, and it may mm-hmm. be different, it may be this the same, but then we're leaving gaping, you know, there's big gaps in our information.
Well, it would be the equivalent of talking about life during the Civil War and ignoring the fact that people are born and dying, right, outside of the battlefield. Or how do they provide food if they happen to be living in the war zone? Or how does it affect whether or not they can pay their bills? Where do they go to church? The same sorts of things that we concern ourselves with today were a concern for our Victorian ancestors during the Civil War. But because military history tends to focus specifically on those statistics, there has only been, I would say, within the last 30 years, a growing interest in looking at how the war impacts individuals personally. And this is just one of those aspects. Now, this is not a try to shock you program. This is about adding an aspect of humanity to the individuals who not only went off the war and died, but those who went off to war survived and came home, because those connections that they maintained during the war with the people they left behind were so crucial to giving them hope that they would come out on the other side, that to ignore especially the intimate relationships between husbands and wives, I think does a disservice to those people. And so my goal is not to titillate you with offensive images. My goal with the program is to give you an idea of how soldiers coped with their separation from the people, the women that they loved, how they cope with free time when they're bored. How do they cope with that ever-present fear that they may die today? And for whatever reason, nature gives us kind of an impetus to engage in sexual intimacy when there is a lot of fear surrounding a situation. I don't know why, I don't understand it. Maybe you do because your background is in anthropology. But when there is a fear of imminent danger, there is a need to connect with another human being, in more than a superficial level. And I think that that's part of what motivates young men to go out and seek out the company of prostitutes. And so again, it comes back to looking at those relationships that are so necessary to our humanity and the stories that come with that reality. That's what I like to focus on with this program.
Well, and you said you didn't want to shock us.
Right.
But shaking us up is good.
Yes, I agree.
I think so. I mean, and it's like in some of what you were describing as sad and tragic and beautiful and and wonderful and all of the things. In two sentences, you had me emotionally all over the place because of that aspect of our history that I haven't heard a lot about. Mm-hmm. You opened the door to it.
Awesome. Well, then I've done my job today.
Thanks to Kathy Wilson for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com, on demand or for download. Just click Radio Plus. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in depth, contact KNIA KRLS by sending an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in Marion County is KNIA KRLS.